I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brooke.
And you're here with us on A Teachers Who Talk Crime
Podcast. So I will start us off. I don't know what land of the Lululemon these administrators are living in, but I want to know, how do you get there and how much does it cost to stay there, or what drugs are they taking? Because I want some of those drugs. Like, I want some. My Tylenol that I'm allowed to take is not doing what y'all drugs are doing.
Oh, goodness.
I would really like to know. Like, I would really like to know how to get to the Lululemon land, or what drugs you are on. Because, and I don't, you know, we said last episode, well, you said last episode, that is me growing this small human. But I literally just don't like anybody. I don't like anybody. And I think everybody, not everybody, but I think the people I made excuses for, I'm no longer making excuses for. And I'm like, you don't do your job. Like, period. You just don't. You don't do your job. And that frustrates me as someone who goes over and beyond at her job. Absolutely. Now, this week, I have not. Today, okay, if you don't know, if you're new here, in the past, prior to becoming pregnant, I was like the fight breaker-upper at my school. Like, there are videos of me tackling children to the floor.
I've seen it.
Yeah. So today, we had three fights. I was there for
three.
Two of them. Three effing fights, okay?
That's wild.
These kids are off of their rocker because they know that nothing's going to happen. They know we do not have an admin. Like I said, they live in Lululemon land. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we had three fights today. I was there for two of them. And I'm very proud of myself. I didn't even think about jumping in it because I am a contract employee now, and I will only do what is in my contract, and that is not in my contract.
Yes, you are one of the elite employees.
Yeah. So we had three fights today. I stood there and I went, they're right here, come get them. They're right here, come get them. This one right here. And I just pointed, which caused a huge distraction. And then everybody was like, what is this crazy woman doing? And I was like, they're right here. He's right here. I just pointed. So we had three. Okay. We then had some huge commotion in the hallway. It was happening as the tardy bell was ringing. And I have been meeting my kids at the door with my little rolling cart. And I've been giving them quick check quizzes this week because we're about to start state testing. So, like, I need to, like, make sure they're up to date. So all this is happening in the hall. And another teacher looks at me. She goes, what is going on? And I just pulled my cart back into my room. I said, it's not in my contract to figure it out. I'm going to teach my class. And I just rolled back in my class, and they were like, can I go to the bathroom? I was like, no, my kids will stay in this room. I will be accountable for my children.
Wow. Look
but
at you.
That's not even the worst part. That's the day we had, and that's one of the things that I know about. Tell me why on the afternoon announcements, this person got on the intercom and said, we've had a great day today here at blah, 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 blah. No, we have not. What world are you living in? And you talk about how bad these kids, because you are not punishing the kids.
There comes
the third fight of the day. She sent them back to class. Cool.
It's come to the point, like, I was where you were months ago. So I feel you because I was there and I was just like, you know how there's only so much that I can do. So I'm gonna do what I do.
I'm gonna look in that contract and I'm gonna see what it says and I'm gonna do that.
And I do it well. I do a great baby. Yeah. I do a good job.
Yeah.
But I can't give my heart and soul. I need some for myself. I need some for my kids. You know, I need to protect that. So that's where I'm at right now. You know, some days I go to work and it sucks, and some days I go to work and it's great. There's been more great days lately than, you know, trash days, you know, which is great. Yeah. We love that. But I think it's because I've just accepted that there's only so much I can do. I cannot change this with me mm-hmm. solely, with the way that things are going in the education system.
Yeah.
I can't change it. It's just...
You can't change it because no one's asking for your opinion.
You know, no one's asking, but people, we're saying it everywhere. Yeah. All over Teacher Talk, we're telling you, like, these kids can't read. These kids can't read.
Yeah.
And you're just pushing these things on them that they cannot mm-hmm. comprehend.
Yeah. And you're just passing them along. And you look
at me to fix them. Yeah. But you give me no resources to teach them phonic skills at the grade level they're at. And you're scared
to hold them back. They're terrified to hold them back. They are terrified to hold these kids back because of what the parents will say.
Yeah. It's something that I alone cannot fix, and I've decided I'm not going to try and fix it. I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to help the way that I can. Who I can, because I cannot save them all. I can't.
Yeah, I know.
With the things that are in place, it's not capable.
Yeah.
And that's the really sad.
It is. Because like the ones that love me, they really do love me. Like the kids that love me and the ones that don't, like we just don't jive and I don't care and they don't care. Mm-hmm. And like mm-hmm. told a kid today, I said, hey, I documented what you did yesterday. If you do it again, it's a referral and no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I said it just like that. And he threw his quiz on the ground and he stayed silent with his arms crossed the whole class. And when I asked him if he was done with his quiz, he just sat there and didn't respond. I said, oh, okay, cool. We're going to pout today. Cool. I didn't know we were a baby, but that's fine. You do you, boo.
And I would have picked that test up.
Here is your action. Here is your consequence. Mm-hmm. I gave you a warning. I said, mm-hmm. I documented it. I put it in the Google folder. Mm-hmm. And today, if you do it, it's this. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can interpret that as me being mean to you. You did mm-hmm. an action. Here's your consequence. Mm-hmm. But they get mad and I'm the mm-hmm. bad guy because no one else is doing that for them. Mm-hmm. Admin's not doing that. Admin's mm-hmm. sending them back to class with a little social emotional learning warning. Well, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sure that mm-hmm. we need all that and we do. But like, mm-hmm. look at this kid's file, ma'am.
But it's also like, yes, these things are necessary, but they're necessary if they're enforced the correct way. Like social emotional learning should not be thrown randomly into the days where you can fit it in. Yeah. It should be a consistent thing that takes time out of the day that the kids have to focus on their social emotional skills because they are extremely lacking.
Yeah.
They do not know how to interact with one another.
All they do is this. All they do is this. This right here, the phone. Like, that's it.
They do not know how to interact, communicate, problem solve.
Yeah.
At all. And we're just continuing to overlook it. Like, they'll catch up. They're not.
You can't assume they're going to. They're not. And we're going to put them in society as adults. And then these kids that you allow these behaviors, they're going to think that the law is going to do the exact same thing that we did in the public education system is sweep it under the rug, pat you on the back, and say, do it better next time, baby. Mm-hmm. No, you're going to jail.
The gap is so large. The gap is so large. Like we had PD day today and we were looking at cognitive ages. Like for different age groups. And I looked for like 9-year-olds because that's what I teach. And I said, my kids aren't cognitively where they're at. So I started to flip back. And I think—
Where were they?
I think it was about like 6, 7. More on the 6. And I think it was more on the 7 because they— But even so, it was— Because it said— What was the thing that it said? And I was like, my kids don't care. They don't want to make mistakes and they get upset when they make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Or they don't like to make mistakes, something like that. That is my older twin, Skylar, to a T. Mm-hmm. She don't like getting mistakes, but the child don't slow down. She want to rush and then you're mad when you have mistakes. Girl, mm-hmm. you rush. Like my kids, I will send them back to their seat countless amount of times. I circled this and it's not done correctly. Oh, let me go do it real quick. No. Let's take a minute. Let's mm-hmm. look over this paper as in its entirety. Read it to yourself. Does it make sense to you? Are your sentences flowing together as a sentence should flow? And once you've done that, come back up to me. Okay, mm-hmm. 2 seconds later, I was back with the paper. I said, if this is the effort that you would like to put into your work that is going into your school record, that's completely fine. I'm not going to keep doing this back and forth with mm-hmm. you.
Well, the same thing, but they're in eighth grade with me and they end up, like, I'm like, are you sure you want to turn this in? Yeah, I don't care. Because they don't care. They don't care about zeros. Like, it's just, and they're like, I don't know how to do it. Well, did you ask me? Did you come up to my cart and ask for help? Did you listen to the example that is still sitting on the board that we just did as a whole class and the problem looks just like it?
You know.
So you didn't do any of that. So if you want to take the zero, you're not hurting me. I don't care. My paycheck's coming tomorrow. Like,
it's very sad, the state of education that it is right now. It's very sad. Like,
but it's also sad in like the generation that's raising kids that we're having to teach. I literally heard a girl in my classroom today, and I quote, y'all, I'm not making this up. Mm-hmm. And I quote, she's talking to one other girl and two boys. Mm-hmm. My parents do not care if I have sex because they said as long as I don't get pregnant. Well, do you know how to not get pregnant, ma'am? And did they really say that? Because if they really said that, I'd really like to talk to them because I need to know what not to do when I raise this baby. And I feel like these are prime examples.
Like, that sounded a little brand Tisha Brooke.
I'm just I guess I'm just now recognizing
people's stupidity.
I don't know. I guess I'm recognizing people's stupidity and it's now bothering me. Like, your parents, or are you just trying to be cool? I'm going to want to go with the latter and I'm going to want to believe that she's just trying to be cool.
Yeah.
Even though that's still not cool. But because I have a hard time believing as someone who's about to become a parent that at 13 and 14 years old, I'm going to look at my son, Preston, and be like, all right, baby, I don't care if you go and have sex. Just don't get nobody pregnant. No. No.
No. No.
I'm just like, what is wrong? Like,
like the amount, like the Stanley girls and all this stuff. Yes. Like Skylar and Aria.
Getting color books. Baby, they're getting color books.
Baby, you're not getting no Stanley.
No.
You're not getting no phone.
No.
You're not getting those little fancy UGG slippers.
Or Lululemon.
Humble yourself. Humble yourself.
Yeah.
Because the day that you come up to me asking for a Stanley, let's go in your piggy bank. Because now, like, here's the thing. Skylar and Aria, they used to get a lounge child. I don't do that no more because, child, they dirty rag muffins. they rag muffins. They get on my nerves. But they got their little money from their birthday, so they got their money in there, you know? So now, like, they'd be like, Mommy, you want to pay for it? We go in your piggy bank. Oh, no. That's what Mommy thought.
Yeah.
Because you want to use Mommy's money.
Things aren't free.
And I'm trying to, like, teach them these things as decent human beings. Mm-hmm. Like, you break something in your classroom, you are going to use your money to buy your teacher another one and write her a note of apology. Because you do not come here to destroy things because you get frustrated. Mm-hmm. We have skills that we have in place. You have strategies that you have learned to calm yourself down. And breaking a crayon on purpose is not one of them.
Yeah.
No, ma'am.
Yeah.
Mm. And people think I'm hard on them. They go, why are you so hard on them? Because some people are not going hard enough for their kids.
Yeah.
And it won't be mine.
And at the end of the day, if they even sat there for 5 more minutes, they would see how obsessed Ari and Skylar are about you. Obsessed.
Like, they know what it is. I'm going to hold them accountable every single time.
They're going to be good human adults in society.
And I expect all of their teachers to do the same.
Yeah.
Like, you hold them to the same standard that I hold them.
Yeah.
And if there is a problem, you call me because I will handle it immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Because that is my role as their parent, to make sure they don't come here and make your job harder.
Yeah. But I
because
teach
they
kids
know better.
That are taught no code switching, no time and place, no nothing. Like, I have that boy that I teach right now. Love him to death. Let me preference that. I love him to death. He's 6'3", 200 something pounds in the eighth grade. Like, he's a huge boy. He looks like a grown man. So if if he is messing with cougars, would I be really surprised? Absolutely not.
Oh my God.
But let me just tell you what he says.
Oh my God. Okay?
Let me just say. So we're talking about the Pythagorean theorem. And I was going
that's
over
A squared, B squared.
It is. And I was going over how A and B are legs and C is the hypotenuse. And I was like, okay, on the count of three, everybody point to one of their legs. One, two, three. And I said, okay, did we all point to the same leg? Because I'm trying to teach them that the legs, A and B, are interchangeable. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I normally know what's going to trigger an inappropriate comment from an eighth grader, so I avoid those things. This was never one of those things. He literally goes, I know what leg I just pointed to, and it wasn't my right or my left, Miss Dozier. What? What just happened? What just happened?
Huh? And you know what's really bizarre to me? Is like, even if you were thinking that, you had the audacity to open your mouth, use your voice box to produce these sounds, to say it out loud to your teacher?
Yes, he did.
Are you out of your mind?
He did. He did. I was so taken aback. And normally eighth graders don't shock me. Actually, I was so shocked. I couldn't even form words. And I just stood there. And then when I went to try to go back to the lesson, I went, no, I need to take a minute. I need to take a minute for this one. And I went to my little rolling cart and I jotted down what he said on a piece of paper so I wouldn't forget it. And I just stood there. They were like, are you all right? And I was like, yeah, I think so. All right, well, let's try to get back to good old Pythagoras.
The minute you said the legs, I was like, oh.
But it didn't. No, okay. I stay away from 69 as answers. I stay away from 420 as answers. I stay away. You know, like I know the typical responses of eighth grade boys and girls. Like this one, I did not expect.
Wow. And you know what's crazy about 69? Because you would think that third graders have no idea what that is. And the other day, I know the kids I service. Like, I've never heard them talk like this. Granted, they act like they big and bad, but they, like, play stick the middle finger up at each other. And then it's just like, really? That's what you choose to do?
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, everybody, turn to page 169. And one of my kids was like, 69. I said, absolutely not. You will cut it now. Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Not in my
room. But then you have other kids in the room and they're like, what did he say that's so bad? That yeah, exactly.
I'm like, what are you doing in your spare time? Not reading a book. That's clear. That's clear, baby. You're serving the web. The World Wide Web.
Exactly where they heard it. That's exactly where they heard it.
Oh, gosh. I was just like, I can't. I cannot anymore. Yeah. And like, even in Skylar and Aria's classes, like talk about boyfriends and girlfriends. Like, if you don't date this book, if you don't date this knowledge, because I'm not raising my kid to think she need a man to save her. Sure not.
Yep. 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 But then all these parents got mad that we took sex education out of the public education system because, well, you're not going to teach my kid about that. Well, then who's teaching? Would you rather Joe Blow from the internet teach him?
Honestly, TikTok is probably mad knowledgeable about that these days, you know? I'm just saying.
Yeah, but in both ways, negatively and positively. But depending
but if they
on what
get
side
on the
TikTok
right side
it is,
of TikTok, you know. But you know they're
said,
not going to be
you
on the
just
right
said,
side.
You said depending on if they get on the right side of TikTok. And now we know that's not going to happen. But if you look at the teen pregnancy rate then when sex education was in, and now it was actually lower when we were teaching sex education.
Yeah.
And also, abstinence was higher than it is now.
I just, my main concern is why are we fixing what wasn't broken? Granted, not to say when I went to school, the education system was, my teachers genuinely seemed happy when they came to work. Not to say I don't seem happy when I go to work, but my kids be like, Miss Brent, we're getting on your nerves, right? And I'm just like, y'all just will not stop talking. You know what I mean? Like my teachers were always—
But we didn't talk. We went to school and we learned. We did
That's
what
also,
was expected.
They didn't have to deal with what we are currently dealing with. I feel like that. And I feel like they just had a freedom. Like, it wasn't all... And if it was, like, child, I don't remember no state tests. And if I did, like, she just brushed it like it wasn't even a thing, because I don't remember not a thing about no state tests.
Yeah.
And it's just now it's the science of reading and all of this stuff. Excuse me. I don't remember learning that way.
Yeah.
I don't remember learning that way. And I think I turned out just fine. So why are we now throwing iPads and throwing all this into the system when the ones that came before, granted, I know we're evolving with times, but just throwing technology in their faces is crippling to them.
Yeah.
These children are addicted to screens.
Somebody did a study on that. And they said that education has fallen in scores and academic achievement since we introduced technology into the one-to-one ratio of children.
I'm not surprised. We need to go back to computer lab days. Like, oh my God, we're going to the computer. You always have access to this thing and you don't even know how to use it properly.
Yep.
Why am I now teaching you? You have the smartest device in your hand right now. All of the answers you seek are on this device and you can't even use it.
But I will
for
say
its
I have
intended
one.
Uses.
I have one kid. I have one kid and he is just a mega genius and I don't know how to teach him and he's teaching me, honestly. But we're, you know, talking about Pythagoras and I'm like going over the history of Pythagoras and how he was a cult leader and how he made his followers vow 5 years of silence and he took all of their research and the only time they could talk was to him. And that's how the Pythagorean theorem came about. His followers were the ones who like showed him what it was and he put his name on it, basically. So we're talking about all this. I'm like, I'm giving him the giving them the history. One student pulled out their Chromebook and I can like see what they're searching because I have my rolling card up and I'm like watching that they're not doing anything they're not supposed to do. And I see him on Wikipedia and he is fact checking me and I loved it. I was like, not even mad. I was like, this is what these devices were intended for. One kid thought my story was a little bit outlandish. Let's see if she's really telling the truth.
They don't and have I was pure- like, they are not curious about things. They are not curious. Their imagination is non-existent. Ask
they're
them
copycats.
To create a story and they're like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Yeah.
But what happens next? I don't know. It's your story. What do you want to happen next?
Yeah.
Things were different.
They were.
Things were different.
Get us on a rant. I just want to know how to get to the Lululemon land and I want to know what drugs people are taking because
the best kind, I bet.
I know. My Tylenol is not up there on the list. So,
it's just a shame.
But you want to get to a brighter note and get to our
estudiante yesterday.
Yes.
Let me open my phone. This is an email.
Ooh.
An email review, and I'm not going to reveal her whole government on here because I don't know if she wants me to, but our estudiante estrella is Tammy.
Yay, hey, Tammy. Tam-Tam.
Hey, Tam-Tam. How you doing, girl? And the email is titled podcast, so I'm assuming it's a 5-star. Beep, 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 beep.
Beep, 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 yeah.
Yeah. So here we go. And Miss Tammy says, good evening. Hey, good evening. How you doing?
Mm-hmm.
First, I love your podcast. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. You ladies are fun to listen to and your school stories are so relatable. Girl, I hope you just enjoyed that whole entire rant. I hope you did. Because I was thinking of you in mind when I was going on it. Because I was like, this is about to be relatable to so many people. Sure is. Uh-huh. Is it relatable to you, Tam-Tam?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been a high school educator for 24 years. Wow. Bless you, Tam-Tam.
Good job.
Wow, 24 years.
I don't even know if I'm going to make it to 10.
I don't know if I'll make it to 12. This is year 9, baby.
Yeah.
Baby. I've been a high school educator for 24 years, and let me tell you, being a public school educator in 2024 is not for the weak. Tam-Tam.
Say it again.
It's like you know what you're talking about, Tam-Tam. Keep fighting the good fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tam-Tam, I think the good fight is getting me.
Yeah.
It's getting me, Tam-Tam. Tammy girl.
They out here with swords and I'm just out here with my sticks and stones.
Yeah. And they breaking my bones. And sometimes their words hurt me, okay? Can I get a amen?
Amen.
Yo. Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Tammy, we appreciate you and we appreciate your years of service.
We do.
I feel like they need, granted, we not fighting, but you know how they give like medals for people who be in the military and stuff like
yeah.
that. I want my medals of service
yeah.
for this right here because yeah. like Tim said, this is not for the weak.
It's not.
Like
it's not.
I'm in so many like, not so many, but I'm in like Facebook groups about teaching and people are asking how to give their special education certifications back. Like, how do I return this? I don't want it anymore.
Yeah, I want a full refund. I do not want to pay these loans.
And it's just like the fact that people are like, take it back. Like, you could take back the whole degree. Take the whole thing back. I don't want it no more.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. Tammy. That was a good one, Tam. That was a good one, Sam. All right, Miss Tammy. Well, I thank you so much for your review. This gold star's for you, babe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. We are back with another case. So sit down, shut up. The murder is about to begin.
Ahora.
Imagine waking up in your family home and discovering your father's blood on the family couch with him nowhere to be seen. Imagine panicking and running to find your only source of comfort, your older sister, but realizing she too is gone from the family home. Imagine then later finding out that this same comforting, amazing older sister was the one who took the life of her father, ran away with her older boyfriend, and was the mastermind behind it all, stripping her and her younger sisters of any normal childhood and upbringing. Well, that is exactly what 15-year-old Ellen Fryer did to her family and her younger sisters. Aaron Fryer was said to be a great, hardworking father who loved his daughters, according to his girlfriend, Michelle Robinson, who spoke about his character and his family. Now, Aaron and his wife, who he had these three daughters with, they were divorced or separated, and allegedly, the mom did not have much custody of the girls because allegedly she had some addiction issues. Couldn't find that in a ton of sources. I don't really know. She was still active in their life. I do want to make that known. She was still active in their life, but the girls lived with Aaron in his home and he was a single father. So
understood. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But he was dating Michelle, who the girls were very fond of. But first, let's go back to who this family is and how we get to this point. However, I will say this is nothing that we have not discussed before, as we have seen young grooming love gone wrong, but was it really? This idea of young grooming love leads to murder of a single parent in this particular case, a dad at that, which I don't know if y'all knew, but did you know that this is called patricide? And it only actually accounts for 2% of all homicides in the United States. So basically, when a child murders their parents, it's called patricide. And it's only 2% of all the homicides in the United States. I thought it'd be a little higher because that's what I said. That was my next sentence. I was like, from our podcast alone, I would have thought this number would have been a little higher.
100%. Like 2% don't seem like nothing, but then we're covering all these cases. So it's like,
maybe run that one again, guys. Maybe run that data again.
Send it back through the machine, you know?
Yep. So today we are discussing a patricide case where a child does end up, in fact, murdering or being responsible for the murder of their parent. And this is the Fryer family, dad, Aaron Fryer, and his three daughters, the oldest being Ellie Fryer. Her name is Ellen, but she goes by Ellie. It's Ellen Rose Fryer. We're going to be calling her Ellie moving forward.
Okay.
Ellie was 15 years old at the time of her father's death. Ellie was a sophomore at the local high school in Oregon, and she actually met her then boyfriend, Gavin McFarland, through the halls of the high school. Now, Gavin didn't pay her much attention because Gavin was much older than Ellie. Mm. Gavin also dropped out of high school right before his graduation. But that did not stop Ellie from DMing him and striking up a relationship. Keep in mind, Ellie is 15 years old and Gavin is 19 years old. Yes. Sweet. And Ellie's parents, both, even though they were not together, did not approve of this relationship. Wonderful. And they asked Ellie to stop speaking to Gavin immediately because this was inappropriate. This was not legal. They did not have parent consent. She was a minor.
Yes.
And she told both of her parents, okay, I did. No big deal. You can get off my case. But we will learn that she, in fact, did not. Mm. So on the night of October 1st, 2017, Aaron was asleep on the couch when he heard a bang and woke up to find Ellie in the hallway. She claimed she was going to the bathroom and just knocked something over. Aaron told her to be more careful and stop scaring him as there had been a recent break-in on the house the day before. Mm-hmm. That's why he was kind of like sleeping downstairs. Then on October 2nd, 2017, around 6:45 a.m., Aaron Fryer's girlfriend called 911 and told police that her boyfriend, Aaron, and his oldest daughter, 15-year-old Ellen Fryer, were missing from the home and blood was found on the couch in the living room. Not only a little bit of blood, but a lot of blood. Mm. That did my. I said a lot of love.
Oh,
a
lot of love. I wasn't going to say nothing, but I was processing it in my brain. I was like, a lot of love.
A part of that. Yep. That happened.
Okay. It kind of sounds like you're saying, had a laugh. This is like a little away night. It's a little away night. Yep. Oh, gosh, that's funny.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me try. Blood.
Blood. Don't say blood. Don't say that. Don't say that. Oh, gosh.
So on October 2nd, 2017, around 6:45 a.m., Aaron Fryer's girlfriend called 911 and told the police that her boyfriend, Aaron, and his oldest daughter, 15-year-old Ellen, were missing from the home and blood was found on the couch in the living room. Mm-hmm. Now, this was not just a little speck of blood. This was a lot of blood. Mm-hmm. She informed the police she had not been the one to discover the scene, blood, or the fact that Aaron and Ellen were missing, but that it had been Aaron's other two daughters who woke up that morning and discovered what was happening and called her for help. So she immediately goes to the house. She was not there. She was not staying there. She did not live there. She was just his girlfriend at the time, but the kids knew him. And when the older child woke up, other than Ellen, so I guess the second oldest, she, you know, saw what was going on and she called Michelle. Michelle came over. Michelle called the police.
Got you.
Mm-hmm. When the police arrived, after the call was made, they spoke to the two sisters who were 11 and 8 years old at the time of the incident. Ugh. The younger of the two didn't have much to share, knowing little about what could have happened. But the older one gave the following statement to police, which was brave and beyond helpful in this ongoing investigation. She explained that she woke up to her dad yelling, followed by sounds of something crashing to the floor against the wall. She said she remembers this taking place around 5 a.m. that morning. She then tells the police she came out of her room and into the living room where she notices the couch. She put her hand on the couch at a wet spot and snatched it away immediately, realizing it was blood. Mm. She then flipped on the lights to see just the amount of blood that was present in the living room, knowing that it was not good, whatever it was. When police questioned her about who her dad could have been yelling at that night, as it seemed he wasn't alone, she told them that she did recognize the voice and could easily place the voice of Ellen Fryer's boyfriend, 19-year-old Gavin McFarland. Mm. And if you are doing the math, then yes, again, Ellen was 15 and Gavin was 19. And the 11-year-old sister confidently confirmed it was, in fact, Gavin's voice she heard. No hesitation. Like, this child was like, yep, it was Gavin.
So she already knows that the sister is more like involved. And granted, no one's put no blame on her. So she was probably aware that they were dating and keeping it on the hush. You know, a little sister bond, you know?
Right.
100%.
15 she and probably, 11. That's pretty close.
Yeah. You know, you're talking like, oh, I got a boyfriend. Don't tell nobody. Don't tell mom and dad. You're like, hey, girl, let me get your lip gloss. Right. You know what I mean? Things like that. But my question is, so you said she heard this scuffle around 5 a.m. So when she heard this scuffle, she immediately went downstairs and the dad was not there.
No. She went downstairs at 5 a.m. She heard a scuffle like in the middle of the night.
Got you. But
that could be the hallway interaction that she heard. That I don't think it was the hallway interaction though, because she heard Gavin's voice.
Okay, got
and
you.
That,
got you,
and
got
Gavin
you.
Is a part of all of this after the hallway interaction with Aaron and Ellen.
Okay, and 5 o'clock is just when she went downstairs.
Yeah.
Understood. Okay.
Because
she's like
realizing.
Okay.
Right, because at 6:45 is when the police were called.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I was confused. I was like, dang, he moved her or he moved him quick. Like, boom, and you come downstairs, he's gone? Like, that's crazy. But there was time in between. Okay, got you.
The police then questioned neighbors and friends about what they could tell them, and a man named Curtis Smith, a friend of Aaron's, spoke about how Aaron was not a fan of Ellen's boyfriend, Gavin. Mm-hmm. He said, quote, Aaron would tell me that the guy is a bad seed and not a good influence on Ellie because Ellie was doing very well in school. She was doing band and everything, but I think Gavin held her back. So he's basically in a nice way saying like, Ellie was top tier. She was doing all these things. And then here comes this older boy. And now she is rebelling. She's staying out late. Mm-hmm. She's lying. She's not doing good in school. We've seen it. We've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This led investigators to the fact that before Aaron and Ellen went missing, he and his daughters had a disagreement on the relationship with Gavin, and Aaron actually told Ellie she was no longer allowed to see or date Gavin, period. So he actually confronted Ellie with the fact that he knew she had been lying, that he knew she was still seeing Gavin, even after the mom and dad both told her in the beginning, this is not going to work out. We are not letting this happen. He is 19. You are 15. Yeah. So he is confronting her for a second time the day before all of this happens and is saying like, look, I know you've been lying. Here's my evidence. And what he actually found out was Ellie said she was going to a friend's house to sleep over and she had been using this trick for a while and come to find out she was sleeping at Gavin's. So then Aaron goes to Gavin's house the day before he's killed, knocks on the door and threatens to kill Gavin on his own property. Well, I don't know if Gavin owns the place. He's only 19, but it's where Gavin lives basically. And he like threatens to kill Gavin. He's in his face. He's yelling. He's screaming at Ellie, makes her come home. They get into a big argument, blow out all of these things, right?
Wow.
So yeah.
Wow.
But again, every teenager fights with their parents. Not a reason to kill your parents.
Yeah, over a boyfriend that now y'all both locked up and will probably never see each other. So
correct. Yeah.
Doesn't really pan out.
Yep. Now, Gavin did call the police during this whole interaction, like with Aaron about him threatening to kill him and him coming to his house and all of that. But it kind of was like, Gavin didn't really say much when police arrived because, homie, you were the underage girl in your home. So, like, how you think this is about to go?
Yeah. You going to jail.
But are you dumb or are you stupid? So Gavin was then like, oh, it was a misunderstanding.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
I won't do it again.
Exactly. Kind of thing. Because you called the police to your house where you are harboring an underage girl. And her dad is just trying to come get his daughter.
Yeah.
Whose side do you think they're going to take, buddy?
Yeah. Not yours.
Yeah. Not yours, buddy boy. So obviously right away after talking to the neighbors and the two daughters and the girlfriend and seeing the crime scene for themselves, they knew that they were in search of these two people, Gavin and Ellie. Now, we still don't know where Aaron is. And after the police have talked to the neighbors, the daughters, the girlfriends, they've seen the crime scene, they've done all of the things, they realize that they need to go and search for these three people, Aaron, Ellen, and Gavin. It wouldn't take long, however, to spot two of the three that they were looking for because police spotted the couple walking down the street along with a third man that was 22-year-old Russell Jones. Now, he's a new character in all this, and we don't really know much about Russell Jones. We just know that he worked at some kind of surveillance shop and called himself a protector. And I did air quotes if you are not watching on YouTube.
A protector.
Right. And you're also 22 hanging out with a 15 and 19 year old, but you know, who am I to judge?
A protector.
Mm-hmm.
Like you a bodyguard?
Well, you'll see the video.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. However, there is still no Aaron or news of his whereabouts or well-being. So they did, in fact, find three people. It just wasn't the three people that they were looking for. They added this new character into the mix that no one had even told them about. No one at the scene even knew a Russell Jones. No one mentioned a Russell Jones. But here's Russell Jones hanging out with Gavin and Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
So the three were instantly taken into custody and separated so that they could see what all three had to say individually, aka who would roll on who first. And let me tell y'all, you are not ready for the level of psycho these interrogations displayed. First, let's start with Ellie herself. So she remained super calm and super soft-spoken, playing dumb in the beginning, barely even speaking. She refused to speak, She came in to the interrogation and immediately started acting like a baby. She's 15 years old and she was coloring with crayons in the interrogation room. Would not talk. When she did talk, she used a baby voice like this. She just used her little baby voice. Yeah. They had to put a female guard in the doorway before she was like being actually interrogated. And at one point she like turns to the female guard. She's like, can I just get a hug? And that's like one of the few things that she actually said. Yeah. Super strange. Super weird.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Super weird. First of all, why are you coloring? Why are you coloring with crayons?
I like coloring, so I'm not going.
I like coloring too, but she's 15 and she just got arrested for the disappearance of her dad and you're coloring a picture?
I mean, maybe she's a little stressed and like that maybe that's her way to deal with the stress. You know, I was like, cool girl, I like the color too. However, Kama, that baby voice stuff and that, can I get a hug? Like, you're not here for something that you know damn well you did. And I don't know if you're trying to play the insanity card. Uh-huh. Like, oh, maybe I'm like, and this is my other personality that's erupted because of this trauma. But girl, I'm not buying tickets to the show you're selling it for.
Right.
Because I'm not believing you.
So they had this female investigator come in and talk to Ellie first. And the female investigator sat down and was like, hey, she says, hey. And Ellie says, hello. And she goes, what's your name? That's the three things that were said. And I quote, hey, hello, what's your name? And Ellie said, I have the right to remain silent. All in her baby voice. Those are the things that were said. And the female investigator says, okay, well, you do. But in the state of Oregon, you legally have to give us your name and your address. So even though you want to remain silent, like you at least have to give us those two things. Like that's the law. Like
And
I actually didn't know that, but some states require that and some don't. So it just depends on your state. And in Oregon, they do.
Mm.
So they tell Ellie that and they tell her like, well, you know, you kind of got to tell us your name and you got to tell us where you live. And I think your age. And so Ellie goes, okay, well, my name is Rain. I'm 18 years old and I graduated with honors. So the first sentence out of your mouth to investigators is a straight up lie. Like, baby girl, you are not on the right foot. Rain. Also, you didn't even lie about stuff that they couldn't even verify. They can go and verify that your name is not Rain and you are not 18 years old and you did not graduate with honors.
Because, baby, you still in school.
Exactly. Exactly.
What's wrong with her?
I don't know. My name is Rain. I'm 18, but I'm talking like a baby.
Again, are you trying to put on this alternate personality or? Yeah.
I don't even know.
The show that you're selling tickets for, not going to buy them.
Mm-hmm. She was the longest interrogation because like she wouldn't talk. Like she wouldn't talk. She wouldn't talk, but they did everything that they were supposed to do with a minor. Like legally, they did everything they were supposed to do, but she never lawyered up. So it's like, they could keep talking to her, but she wasn't talking back. Well, she did eventually open up. And when she did, it's amazing how she found her real voice. Ah, weird.
I guess this was Ellie talking now, huh? Not yeah. Rain.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. It's just crazy. So she started using her real voice and not the baby voice. And she alleged to the police that her dad, Aaron, was actually not a good father and that he abused her, saying the following, quote, "My parents were very controlling. My dad is very abusive, verbally, emotionally. And a few times when I did something he didn't like, he would grab me right here," pointing to her throat, "and he'd pin me against the wall," unquote. She said that she simply wanted to run away and that that was the plan all along, but that it was Russell Jones who showed up to the home during the whole runaway plan with a machete. Keep in mind, Russell Jones does not know Aaron at all, has never met him, nor has he ever spoken to Aaron. But for some reason, as Ellie claims, he just randomly shows up to the house for this planned runaway with a machete, ready to kill Aaron. Yeah.
Seems likely.
Uh-huh. Ellie then added that Russell attacked Aaron, again, for no reason whatsoever, and that she heard her dad scream, and so she took off running, and that's all that she knew.
Then why were you all found together?
Right, walking down the street. Together.
Hand in hand. Skipping.
Yep, just skipping. Yep. Mm. Dippity-doo-da, dippity-day. Mm. So now that police have gotten Ellie to roll on at least one of the boys, they used this as leverage and went straight to Russell Jones and told him exactly what Ellie had just said about him. But keep in mind, because I'm going to let Ashley, and you're going to hear the clips, but I'm going to let Ashley watch it while you guys hear it. There's three little clips. As they're interviewing Ellie, the other two boys are sitting in their rooms by themselves alone. Keep that in mind. Now, when you are sitting in these interrogation rooms, guys, just for future reference, if you ever get put in an interrogation room, the cameras are rolling, okay? Mm-hmm. So even though you're alone, mm-hmm. they you're can see alone. You. You are not alone. Mm-mm. Just want to preference that. But I'm going to let Ashley play these clips of Russell Jones, quote unquote, alone in the interrogation room and him talking to himself, but you can now hear them. John will insert them right here.
Ellie is still technically a minor.
8 hours, hence 48-hour mystery dumbass.
Then you do your little search posse. By then, Gavin, me, and her would be in California.
Right.
Perfect.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. Now all I need is a cigarette and I'll be happy. Ellie is still technically a minor.
8 hours,
hence 48-hour mystery dumbass. Then you do your little search posse. By then, Gavin, me, and her would be in California.
Right.
Perfect.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. Now all I need is a cigarette and I'll be happy.
All right, so we're back, and everything you just heard, if you are not watching on YouTube, everything you just heard, there is no one else in the room. Like, there is no one else in the room. So, Ashley, what do you think?
He's nuts. He's either going through a psychotic break or he is very high on some crazy drugs. Because what are you even saying?
Release yeah. them to me and take like a drug test. And
yeah, but he calls himself the protector, like I said.
And it's just like, sir, you are honestly protecting nobody with that scrawny build. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. But I wouldn't want you to protect me. Either one. He's neither one's guardian. He's not related to either one. Nothing.
He weird.
Yeah. Like, he is literally talking to himself. And that's not, y'all, that is just the clips I gave y'all. He starts talking to that little speaker that's sitting beside him, like, later on in the interrogation. Like, it's crazy. It's really weird.
That is really, sir, you need to be committed. Because yeah.
And
you
then when
about?
When a detective, like an investigator, comes in or something, they have him like sign, you know, his Miranda rights or whatever. And he asked him, he was like, "Well, can I just ball this up and shoot it at the judge's house?" And the officer's like, "Well, that probably wouldn't go over well for you or me." And he was like, "Well, why wouldn't it go over well for you?" And he's like, "Ah, yeah, you would have had to release me. And that's probably not a good idea, is it?" Yeah, like, it's wild. Now, his interrogation is like an hours long. So obviously, we don't have time for that. but y'all can see his state of mind.
Mm-hmm. He's unwell.
From these clips. Yeah.
He's unwell.
So they've just confronted Russell with this idea that Ellie has given them about Russell being the one that showed up to this planned runaway with a machete, mm-hmm. and he randomly attacked Aaron and Ellie didn't know anything about it, blah, 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 blah. And Russell's like, yeah, hell no, that is not what happened. And he begins to tell his version of events after he does all this craziness that you just heard about.
Mm-hmm.
And his story points the finger directly at Gavin McFarland. Russell tells police that Gavin was the one who attacked Aaron, and it wasn't with a machete. There was actually no machete at all involved in this crime. So why she said that, I don't know. It was, in fact, a baseball bat.
Mm.
Russell said the following, quote, he goes into the living room, beats the crap out of the guy. I walked through the front door, and I see a dead body. Now, remember, Ellie's sister said she can clearly place Gavin's voice in the living room with her dad that night. So this is making more sense to police in comparison to Ellie's story, which is looking more like a bold-faced lie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Russell does admit to having involvement in the crime, and he says that although he did not kill Aaron, he was there. He did see the accident. He did see Aaron's body, and he did help Gavin move Aaron's body out of the home that night, and they put him in a tarp, wrapped a towel around his face so that it would stop the bleeding, loaded him into the trunk of Aaron's own car, and dumped his body, along with other evidence, off an embankment. And investigators were like, oh, bingo. Like, we've got it. Great. This is awesome. This all sounds really good. Yeah, Russell, sign right here. This is great. So basically, if all that's true, Russell, like, and you say that that's Gucci bandana, like, can you take us to this said embankment? And Russell's DeLulu Lemon is like, yeah, I can. Load up. And he takes them. So he actually takes the police to the dump site, which is an embankment in Medford, Oregon, located in the woods. And that's where they not only found Aaron's body, but also the baseball bat that Russell said was thrown there by Ellie Fryer herself.
Mm.
Yeah.
So her fingerprint's going to be on it.
Uh-huh. The two stories that they had were being looked at, and it seemed as though Russell's stories, even though he is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, as you just saw, was coming up to be the more factual story, mm-hmm. whereas Ellie's was falling short over and over again. It seems mm-hmm. like Ellie could not tell the truth to save her own life. She mm-hmm. even lied about her name and her age.
Mm-hmm.
She lied about the weapon. She lied about who did it. She lied about knowing what happened. She lied about her dad being this horrible person. And we'll get to some more of her lies. Yeah, we'll get to some more of her lies. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And although Russell is a loony bin, he is like, well, let me actually tell you what happened.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he just needed to get that out of his system before he told the truth.
Maybe he did. Maybe he did.
Yeah.
And Russell's story was also confirmed by the medical examiner after they found Aaron's body that confirmed that Aaron did in fact die from blunt force trauma and not by a machete,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
which verified mm-hmm. Russell's version of events.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after interviewing Ellie and Russell and finding Aaron's body along with the baseball bat, the police decided it was finally time to pay good old Gavin a visit to see what he had to say about the whole thing. And boy, did he have a lot to say. So they saved Gavin for last, and they did not speak to Gavin until Aaron's body was found.
Okay.
So really and truly, like, the police did a stand-up job. I mean, they had three dingbats, honestly, as suspects, mm-hmm. and Ellie wasn't making no sense. She was talking in her baby voice. Her name is apparently Rain, who's 18 years old. Gavin is a loony person, but like he was like, I'll tell you everything.
Mm-hmm.
Load up the car. Stop it, word of booger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now they're going to talk to Gavin. So as you can see, Gavin was, he's also a little bit off of his rocker, just like the others. But when police finally did talk to him, he said, yeah, I did kill Aaron Fryer because Ellie, 2 weeks prior, had told him not only was Ellie pregnant, but that her dad was abusing her. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks before Aaron dies, Ellie comes to Gavin and is like, I'm pregnant and my dad is abusive.
Mm-hmm. Was she really pregnant?
Well, what do you think?
She wasn't really pregnant.
She lies about everything. He said the following, quote, "I was just trying to protect Ellie. That's what set me off. I was just really angry at the moment. The anger had just been building up because of the things that Ellie had been telling me." Mm-hmm. Now, this statement made us think, or made me think in the research, that Gavin went to get Ellie for the runaway as mm-hmm. planned. And when mm-hmm. he saw Aaron on the couch, he let this anger take over and he just killed Aaron right then and there, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it reads to me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It reads as though like Gavin had no other, like it wasn't premeditated, all of this stuff, okay? But Gavin made sure to let police know that yes, he did kill Aaron, but that it was all Ellie's idea. He said, she said, quote, "Go out in the front of the room, take him out and text me and let me know when you're done." He even demonstrated for police how he hit and beat Aaron Fryer with the baseball bat that was actually owned by Aaron and was kept by the front door as protection for him and his girls in their home. Yeah. Mm. Now, what he meant by this, about it being all Ellie's idea, when Aaron showed up to the home that day and caught Ellie at Gavin's, Ellie and Russell and Gavin started making plans in a notebook. Started out as a runaway, but then conveniently we're drawing the layout of the house and then we're making a plan B. What if plan A doesn't work and plan B goes accordingly? So they actually did have a plan to kill Aaron prior to them showing up to the house. Mm-hmm. However, the night that it actually happened was not the date written in the notebook. They wanted to wait until Ellie turned 16, which was after New Year's. And now we're in October. So they were planning this to take place after New Year's in mm-hmm. January. Ellie would be 16. It would be a new year. I don't really know why that's important, but that was what was in the notebook.
Is 16 However, when she is of age?
That might be when she's legal in Oregon. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm thinking that's probably why.
Right. But for some reason, all of this transpired on this night in October and the plan did not go accordingly. So we're improvising at this point. Mm-hmm. Now, with all of this information given to police by all three suspects, it was time to put the timeline and facts together. And here's what they confirmed and learned about the murder of Aaron Fryer. Mm-hmm. Ellie was not pregnant by Gavin, like she told him she was. And Aaron did not abuse Ellie, nor did he abuse any of his other daughters, like she claimed to police and to Gavin. They also confirmed that the plan was for Ellie to run away, but that night, Ellie convinced Gavin to kill Aaron with the baseball bat as he demonstrated. Police also discovered that the trio had planned to kill Russell Jones's father after killing Aaron Fryer, but gave no detail on how they planned to do this. Not investigators also confirmed... Just taking out dads left and right? Mm-mm. Investigators also confirmed that everything Russell told them, very matter-of-factly, was in fact true. But why would a daughter take her own father's life? What kind of person would do that when you have everything going for you? I mean, mm-hmm. he was a good dad. And it seemed as though she wasn't actually groomed the way that they maybe have thought she was. Mm-hmm. And it was, in fact, Ellie that was the master manipulator of Gavin and controlled Gavin in the relationship.
That's a shocker.
Isn't it?
Well, not really. If she's like a really bright girl and he's like a high school dropout and, mm-hmm. you know, not really doing much of his life, she's, you know, is intellectually on a level that he's not able to be at.
Uh-huh.
So it was probably was easy cake to her.
It reminds me of Jasmine Richardson. She was the mastermind.
Yes.
She was way more intelligent than Jeremy Steinke.
Mm-hmm. Because he was
Steinke. You know, and she took that advantage. Like mm-hmm. their age gap was significant, but she knew that her intellectual ability was better than his.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like it could be the same here, but everybody likes to say, oh, well, Gavin was older. Okay, just because you're older really doesn't mean you're smarter.
No, and you also know men mature a lot.
Very true.
Than, you know.
Yeah.
Just the facts, people.
Yeah. No cover us. With all of this on tape and confirmed, there would be no trial for Gavin McFarland because he decided to plead guilty to murder, tampering with evidence, rape in the third degree, and conspiracy to commit murder. And he was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole. Mm-hmm. He is eligible to apply for parole in 2043 when he is 45 years old.
Wow.
So basically Gavin was like, well, the lawyer showed up and was like, I don't think we can take this to trial.
Yeah, it's not your best interest.
Yeah.
Might want to just say you did it. Let's just
see what we can get from the judge. Yeah, exactly. You know, but 45, you know, I mean, you did miss a lot of life, but you still have life to live. So I really hope that Gavin is being reformed. I hope that he's getting his GED and finally getting an education. Mm-hmm. I hope he's doing well. I do. I genuinely hope that he is making a change in his life.
Mm-hmm.
There would also be no trial for Russell Jones because he too decided to plead guilty to conspiracy to commit murder. And he was given a 15-year prison sentence. He is planned to be released in April of 2031 when he is 35 years old.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And lastly, Ellie Fryer. Mm. She too decided to plead guilty after thinking she had the police fooled and under her spell, but not before her attorney told the court that Ellie was manipulated by an older boyfriend and claimed that she endured years of emotional and sexual abuse from her father. Which the court then said, you have no proof of. And she pled guilty to conspiracy to commit murder and conspiracy to commit burglary in the first degree.
Okay.
She was sentenced to 25 years in prison. She was to start her time at a juvenile facility where the judge hoped that the resources in this facility would give Ellie a chance to change her life. Mm-hmm. She will be able to apply for parole in 2041 when she is 39 years old.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
However, before being whisked away by the police, she told the court that she can't erase the past but has learned forgiveness from Jesus Christ. She went on to say, quote, I am not the scared little girl I was over a year ago. I've seen all different kinds of people, and now I see humanity from a new, compassionate perspective.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is the case of the Fryer family.
Wow. Wow.
Yep.
To kill your dad of a boy that you're never going to see again.
Never. You're never going to see him again.
Never going to see him again.
You probably didn't even talk to him again after you got put in the interrogation room.
Probably not even writing letters to one another.
Nope.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a shame. That's a real shame.
It is. It is. Mm. One, you ruined your sister's life. Like you didn't just take your dad's life. Like that's one thing, and that's horrible in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You ruined your baby sister's life.
Mm-hmm.
Like they barely had a mom. Your mom was pretty much absent. I mean, she was active, but that's not who you lived with, right? That wasn't your main parent. So you know your sisters didn't go to her. Mm-hmm. Now they don't have a dad. Like, look what you did.
Yeah, you destroyed a whole family for your selfish needs that, and one, you thought you weren't going to get caught. You're a child. I mean, you might have manipulated him, but you can't manipulate trained professionals.
You tried. You tried.
And you failed.
Yeah.
Immensely.
Mm-hmm.
Immensely, because you did not do a good job.
Didn't work.
Rain. You didn't do good, Rain. You didn't do good, girl. I don't know what TV shows you were watching to prepare for that. Academy Award performance, but you did not win the Best Actress, baby girl.
No.
You did not.
Mm-mm.
And I hope you're getting your life together. And I hope you're realizing that no man is ever worth you compromising your morals or breaking up your family, because at the end of the day, that's just a man and there's a billion of them on the planet.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That one's not for you, baby. He's not the end all be all.
Nope. He's not.
You should have focused on those books.
Yep. And I mean, it kind of... I was very torn about who really maybe was manipulating who. I watched the interrogations, you know, and she did seem like she was trying to manipulate the police, but again, she's trying to cover her ass. So that part was given.
Mm-hmm.
But when I found out that she like lied about being pregnant, I was like, oh yeah, she's the manipulator. She needed some fuel to that fire to get, to get
Gavin
to do it.
She needed to get him angry enough to want to protect her and the baby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Again, but you lied about things that could be proven. Like your lies weren't even good.
They were horrible. They were horrible.
Like, there was not a cut on your dad when they found his body, but yet you said he died by a machete.
A machete.
Lie.
And there are pregnancy tests. Of all the way the of all the materials or tools you could have chosen, you chose a machete. Like they weren't gonna find his body.
Yeah.
Like your crazy friend Russell wasn't gonna sell you to the fishes.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. He might need to have had a few little breakdowns here and there, but he sold you out, baby.
But he definitely immediately. You were never with the crew that you was rolling with, you were never gonna get away with this.
No. Absolutely
ever.
Not.
Mm-mm.
Yep.
Wow. Mm-mm. I wonder what those girls are doing with their lives now.
I know. That would be...
I hope they're doing well.
I do, too. I really do. I really commend the 11-year-old for, like, speaking up and having the memory that she did and being able to place Gavin and and not being terrified and speaking to police so grown. But I guess an event like that will make you grow up fast, so...
Yeah. So I hope she got the, you know, healing she needed from that situation. Yeah. And she's out here thriving, living life. And same for little baby sister. Hope she's doing great, too.
Me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Me, too.
Mm. All right, y'all. Well, thank you, Brookie, for bringing us that.
You're welcome.
I need to go finish packing and tidying up my apartment. Sorry. Send it your way. Because I leave for New York tomorrow for spring break.
Spring break! Whoop, whoop!
So we finally made it. So excited. But
my
apartment is in shambles and I have not packed a thing yet.
You go do that. I am going to wash my face and go to bed.
All right. Love that for you. Dream a little extra for me because I'm not going to bed for a while.
I will. I got you. Well, have an extra drink for me.
Well, so I won't be drinking for a while. All my friends have left New York.
No, just in general, when you have your next one, have one for me.
Okay. Always. I'm always doubling up for you.
God, thank you. Thank you.
Always. You know, always keeping you.
And remember guys, when Preston is due to be born into the world, we have decided that, it's just been me. I don't need baby gifts. I just need everyone to send me a case of White Claw. Thank you.
You're going to be coming with White Claw, girl. You're going to be raining. Make it rain on them. Yes. I love that. So. I can't wait to come down and visit.
Yep.
It'll be nice to have a little cuddly baby.
Oh, yeah.
Just cries and just needs the basic necessities.
He does.
Can't wait for that. Ah, I can't wait. But as always, guys, the bell don't dismiss you.
We do.
So we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
You know immediately what I thought of when I saw her name? That little Wayne line.
Which one?
The hoes will be hoes, so I couldn't blame Tammy. Cut that, John. By the way, don't throw that in there.
My favorite Lil Wayne line is I still got the vision like the line between two dots.
Ooh, he's such a lyrical genius.
She got bars.
Like when real G's move in silence like lasagna.
Yes.
But you know it's spelled lasagna?
Yeah.
And it's lasagna.
I got 10 bathrooms. I be shitting all day.
Period.
Yup.
Or is what I came through with something like the subject and a predicate? Like we should be learning from him. He's teaching us.
Genius.
Synonyms, similes, and metaphors. Like, he is just.
Also, I did not even know that him and Chanel West Coast dated.
Ew.
Yeah. They were like
Chanel
each other's
West
like,
Coast?
It was, he was her like first love.
Ew. Yeah.
Why did we never know this?
Ew.
Because I just saw a TikTok about it and it was like, even with Lil Wayne dropping a new album and doing all of this stuff, he still found time to go to his first love's birthday party, ex-girlfriend Chanel West Coast. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was like, wait, did I just read that right?
Are we sure that's real?
And I'm just saying they broke up because her laugh. He was like, no, I gotta go.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. As I've gotten older in age, my laugh has gotten way more obnoxious and I cannot control it.
No, you're no, you're not. No. Her la- no. 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 No.
It's have just
you,
very...
you've heard her laugh, right?
Oh, 100%, because she used to be on that show.
Yeah, yeah.
What is,
oh my gosh, what is it called?
I could see it. It's not Jackass. It's the other one.
It's the Rob Dyrdek.
Oh, what is it?
What was it? I gotta look
what
it up.
What is
now.
It?
Rob Dyrdek. Ridiculousness.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Wow. I used to love that show.
I did too.
Speaking of shows, finished the onset.
Quiet
Onset. Oh.
So I need to watch that, it.
It ruined me.
Yeah, I bet it did. Yeah.
It ruined me because you're seeing all these shows and I remember watching the scenes that they talked about and being like, that's funny. And now being an adult being like, that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
That is inappropriate.
Uh-huh.
Why are you squirting this water on this girl's face like this?
Uh-huh.
Why is she everywhere holding melons and putting tomatoes to sleep in a bra like it's a hammock? Mm-hmm. Things aren't making sense.
Yeah.
And
he's a creep.
He's a creep. And then the pedophiles that they had on the shows. It's just like, what were y'all doing?
What were the parents? Again, where are the parents?
You know, and some of them were on there. And the one mom, she was like, something wasn't right. Something wasn't right. And she knew it. And then, you know, what's his face is on it? Drake Bell.
Yeah.
Like he's coming out. So his dad was on it crying. He's like, I knew he was going to get. And I'm like, wow. And it, wow. Because the you have to see it to see the downfall of like what happened and how he even, because the dad knew. His dad knew. But then the man weaseled his way in and did what he did. I'm just like, that is the Amanda show. I'll never be able to look at the same.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at her now that we know they did her wrong.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
There's a reason why some of them, there's a reason why Ariana Grande not talking. There's a reason
but
why.
But see, that's the thing is why? Why are you not talking when it would not jeopardize your career? Your career is super high. You're
I feel like they
just
signed NDAs though and like gave them hush money though. I feel like, because Jeanette McCurdy came out and said that they offered her what, like $300,000 or some shit like that?
Yes, but what is $300,000 to Ariana Grande?
A drop in a bucket.
She can pay it back and be
rich.
Like, look, I don't want this, so I'm going to go talk now. She hasn't spoken out. Victoria Justice hasn't spoken out. Josh Peck from Drake and Josh, he's like team whatever his name.
Jamie Lynn Spears, she hasn't
Jamie
said nothing.
Spears, yeah.
Like, it was a good, I started and finished it yesterday. It was, I was up till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good, but it was also
and then
just
we all
like,
sat there and we thought Orlando Brown was crazy, but
I think there's some realness in what he's saying. There's some realness in what this man's
but
saying.
I think
feel
it
like
made
he,
him. I think it messed him up so much in the head that like,
and that's what's happening craziness. With a lot of them. That's what's happening with a lot of them.
Yeah,
that's crazy. It's and then you wonder how many other shows are like that too. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. Well, they haven't even gotten to Disney.
I don't think they're going to touch that. I don't think they're going to touch that.
Disney will never allow it.
They would never. They would never. I feel like Nickelodeon's already been in too much shit. Like they're like, all right, you can talk about us.
Have you seen that girl? She was Raven Simone's best friend on That So Raven, the redhead, Chelsea.
Yes.
I don't know her real name, but Chelsea was her name on That So Raven. She
makes trolling at this point, though. She's trolling at this point, though. Like, she, like, at this point, I don't know if you have anything real to say because you're doing so much trolling and not giving us anything. You're like, wait till this NDA like, closed. Like, girl, what is you really going to talk? Are you really going to tell us?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, she's like, okay, I wanted to see how many more days I have on my NDA. But I literally have been in TikTok so long that, like, I've seen where people null and void NDAs all the time. They're not really, I guess it depends on how they're written and what's in them, but like, like Kelsey, the mom talk girl, she had like, somebody had like a cease and desist or whatever. Like people, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
It's crazy though.
All right, here we go. Not short, but not long.
Okay.
Okay.